Keith Coogan. We are in downtown Los Angeles at Skid Row Studios. You're listening either on iTunes or Stitcher or Blitcher or Cuntface or whatever the fuck latest
or of course
Twitter thing is.
There's the website itself.
Oh, what's the website, Gabe?
That would be skidrowstudios.com, Keith.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Let me type that into my Facebook Live. My Facebook is like Keith Coogan and shit. It's very easy to find me and stalk me. We have a guest tonight, Jen Nicolaisen.
Very special
which
guest.
Is, we always have special guests.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Lovely, lovely woman.
Thank you. I know Jen. She produced and starred in Delia, which was a very light romantic comedy involving death and murder and mayhem. And I love the opportunity because Jen, we did a casting. My manager submitted and said, hey, what about Keith? And they're like, okay, well, what's he look like now?
There aren't any dishes
what's
to be
going
done
on now?
In this movie. Why would you want to know?
There were very few dishes. Really? You're going to drag out that 30-year-old shit? Yes, Gabe, as long as I can. I will beat that dead horse.
I didn't say that to you.
No, that was the dialogue in the Comedy Central spec strip.
Yeah.
Yeah. We shot here in Skid Row Studio. Look at the studio. Do you see the art?
Does it not normally look like this?
No, it built up from white walls and we turned into a den of sin. So.
This looks like a real studio.
Thanks.
Good job.
This looks like, what did you thought I was bringing in like some Cracker Jack operation and some cardboard boxing downtown?
No, definitely not.
Understand how radio works. They can't quite look. So you'll have to see the pictures on the website.
893-9562. Is that the freaking phone number?
1-800. It's toll free.
Okay. 1-800. I'm posting right now. Let's get a call. So we're also joined by John Donahue, Beyond the Marquee, actor extraordinaire. In the non-nominated Much Cloud Atlas, which we loved. Thank you, John, for your work. You got to travel to like two different countries for like 3 months, and you're in it.
I'm in it.
You're in it.
You don't hear me, but
blink,
I'm in it.
I've shot lots of stuff where they cut the lines.
Yeah, but I was good.
Ooh,
I'm
and
sure
we're also joined by
sure.
Stephanie Butora,
yeah.
Who John directed me and Stephanie and himself. What was the head trip that day when you were directing, producing, writing, and acting.
It's a blur, Keith.
Stephanie Butora played the script supervisor, Scripty, on Crafty, our craft service web series. That's available online. Please go. Look up Crafty, the web series.
Nice.
And we skewer... who is Crafty? The redheaded, the ginger?
Oh, don't do this to me now.
Andrew Santino.
Thank you, Stephanie. The only one with a brain cell left of the room is Stephanie Butora.
If you have any Crafty trivia, Stephanie will kick your ass with it.
Wow.
She knows everybody's names.
There's Crafty trivia?
No. Well, not now there is.
On what day did John Donahue completely explode on set?
Wow, this is going live,
Is that a multiple answer?
Wow.
Okay?
Are there multiple answers?
All great directors have that moment.
No.
Actually, I have to admit, what's your fucking name? Jen.
Yes.
Wow.
Jeez.
I'm about to explode now.
I got a half a 40 in me.
He does have a half a 40 in him.
Jen was producing, and I'd sit there. We were in some diner in Venice and,
in Century, no, Culver City. We were in Culver City, yeah.
And we're in the diner, and we're a few days in. It's the second weekend. We've already, God knows what she spent. And there's everything. A red one, camera package, cranes, all this stuff. The reel, the sound cart.
Your
and
trailer.
The anal sound guy and the boom. It's like a real, it's a shoot.
Yeah. Anal sound guy.
And it looks great. It
you
looks like a million
anal
bucks,
sound
by
guy.
The way.
It does. Thank you.
All of my friends that watch Delia, which is available at 4kfest.com/Delia and...
I don't think it's
still there.
Right now.
I played it right now. I
really?
Played it today.
Oh, thank God. Oh, yeah. Thank God.
So 4K Fest is for films shot on 4K. In town, there's only a few projectors that do that. Most are still showing 2K prints.
Yep.
The Red One shoots 4K. It is so rich. It sold me on digital over film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a budget level that it's perfect for horror movies. It's perfect for low budget. It's perfect for you don't need a lot of lights. If you have a cameraman that knows what they're doing, we had like two... what are those called? Fluorescence or something. It was like...
This a very small lighting package, very small. And really, because the red just picks up everything. It just makes everything look so, I think, so cinematic, so beautiful. And you can do... The darks are really dark and the lights are really light. It's beautiful. Yeah, it was great.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Wait, what was the point? You were going to talk about how amazing it was?
We're sitting there. You were so amazing. Shooting this scene and she's supposed to like crack my nuts right in the middle of this like diner scene. And I look over and all this stuff's going on and they're trying to work out wardrobe pieces for someone. And there's Jen. She's like... they didn't drop off the dolly. How much for the fernie pads? They're charging us for that? Fuck them. Okay. And she's like trying to figure out, and there's the full craft service, the whole deal. I was so impressed at this woman in an industry of cocks, a male dominated industry. And I just love this, you know, firebrand woman out there and mellow as a, and then you had to turn around and play this like ragey character, yeah. But you like already suppressed all the rage as a producer, and then as an actor, you're like, I got to bring that back up again.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm a pretty mellow person in, I mean, well, it depends on who you ask, but I don't know. I don't believe in drama. You save the drama for when the camera rolls, you know, the rest, you just figure it out and roll with it. Right.
There's too much work in producing a movie to let drama really get in the way. He's just, you don't have time for it.
I agree.
Gabe has a Poor Fish Entertainment, and he's my producing partner. It's this level-headedness, this planning, this preparedness, and the ability to kind of react and kind of listen to 9 million things at once, keep it on the rails, that I respect. I'm an actor. I'm going to be off playing with lint and go, no, this is what it's about.
It's in your yes, work. You are.
Well, I just got a brand new Sony FS100. Mm. And you talk about the red was picking up everything. We're shooting this commercial parody right now. It's just for fun. We're doing it. We've got great actors that have stepped up, and it's material that could be really tough because it's very racy.
And maybe a Saturday Night Live commercial spoof kind of thing.
It would be a Saturday Night Live commercial spoof if Saturday Night Live were on Showtime. You know, oops, that's the idea. And so
people are naked.
We're shooting.
But there's sex.
Actually, with the nude. Gabe loves getting girls naked on a set for some reason. Why is everything down to like running gear or like that. Take
look
that
the,
off?
No, that's not the
great
case.
So she has a nude top, and I'm sitting there with him and lighting, and I go, the nude top reads nude. She has a white top too. And everyone was like, the nude top looks great, but use the white top, then we'll know you have a top. And like, it was, that was a weird choice.
And
we
brought the light way down.
Oh,
we had the light
something
was
hidden in a closet for the orange kind of backlight. And
put
then
a gel
one
on a tiny little
blue front light to sell the night and the evening. It was nothing.
Keith was worried it wasn't going to show up. And the camera just picked everything up. It was so nice. It looks incredible. And especially with these two actors, because it's Justin Ruppel and Jenna Angeloni, and just hysterical.
They killed
these
it. She's two so young. She's like
so
23
funny
years old.
No, Ruppel's she's not.
Like, no, she's not.
No, Jenna's
don't ever
that
talk about an actress's
I'll
age.
Never, I'm not going to say how loud old she is.
Well, no, what I learned was she was so accomplished. She was so quick and so pro. Everyone that we've worked with on our stuff has been amazing and stepped up. We do a Judd Apatow style. Often. There's a script and we do, but it's so loose because it's funny. And if they're exploring and having fun. We did on Crafty too to bring John and Stephanie back in.
Hey, we're in. We're in, man.
You're in. And John, you produced and wrote, directed.
Didn't sleep. Did all that stuff.
Drove us crazy.
Web series.
Pretty much.
That we had to just put up for free one day. And we had the guys from Entourage.
We had Kevin Conley and Adrian Grenier. And
Turtle.
We had Turtle.
What's his real name? We couldn't. The episode was Turtle Talk.
He made us call him Turtle, so I don't. So those guys are great. They were really supportive of the show. And we got them in the show and got us a little bit of a clout. A little bit of clout.
Why couldn't we sell that shit to
I have no idea. I wasn't in charge of
like
that.
Blip.tv.
I was not in charge of any of that.
Ours is on Vimeo and
well, this 4K Fest, I'm trying.
I love it.
I'm in talks right now.
4K Fest, and it's the number 4, the letter K, fest, like festival, .com/Delia, D-E-L-I-A.
Yeah.
23 minutes, 24 minutes?
21 and some seconds.
21 and change.
Yeah.
And that you pack a feature's worth. It's funny and scary and creepy. It plays on the trope of like men are just idiots and the women are just like, you're a fucking idiot.
Well, and
we had this backstory. It wasn't even the script. We're like, no, your dad has all the money and like my business went and he put it into mine. But then now I'm like sweep the floors more because I'm like this henpecked husband.
That's right.
And then I want to kill you.
And rightfully so, I think. But the compliment we get the most from it is that it moves really fast. Even though it's 21 minutes, it feels
it doesn't
like
it feel just, like
yeah, that, yeah. It moves really quickly, and I think there's not a lot that that mm-hmm. was unnecessary. Not a lot of filler.
Right.
But look at these guys chatting over here. What's happening?
We are live.
Sorry,
are
you talking?
We are live. John's friend called in. We've been doing this thing. So people listening.
We are live right now?
We are live.
Oh,
just to kind of set that up. So people listening to Skid Row, this will be one. This is like our 50th hour. We're in our second season. It's probably like our 6th, 7th episode of the season. We instead of live at 8 p.m., we're going to do it and get people half lit, having fun on the weekend after their week and available and guests to come down Saturdays at 8. We're still going to do that. So all my friends listening and stuff, we're still cool to come and party at Skid Row. It's that we're going to air Saturdays and Sundays. Hang out. Hey, you're awake finally. You got your coffee. 2 p.m. The call sheet is on 2 p.m. You'll probably hear the same episode, or we might do a repeat Saturday and then a fresh episode Sunday. Shifting now, and it's all to cater to you, the audience. To ask all of you to be there at 8 p.m. every night. It's tough. And if I do a repeat or something like that, I can't do a show. I try to bring you like 3-4 a month, sometimes, you know, 2. It's you consume it when you want to consume it. So go listen to past episodes. The latest episode will always be on, hopefully mm-hmm. within 24 hours after we do it. But it's, everything's changing. It's no longer must-see TV. Remember that in the 80s?
Oh, when you had
Thursday nights. I'm fucking there.
You were great.
It was an entire campaign.
Well, I was just talking about this, how people, are you guys watching House of Cards?
Not right now. No, we're on the show.
A reviewer said he made it halfway through the first episode, right, got bored and said no.
Who said that?
A reviewer. It was like Ellie Weekly.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's wonderful.
I love it.
I'm all the way through the whole season.
Are you through?
Did you watch the whole thing?
But I'm on episode 8 right now, and after I leave here tonight, I will be cramming as much in as I can before I have to go to bed tonight. But I love it. I do look forward to my weekly TV shows. I do. I watch way too much TV. But,
good. Thank you. Please keep us working.
Absolutely.
I watch so much TV. My DVR is on overtime. But so much, I don't have a clue when it airs or what day or sometimes what channel, because I just catch it on my DVR. So
I do everything through Hulu, through Netflix, watch
Instant, Mindy.
You know, all of that. I don't know when anything
John's
airs
called
anymore.
Said they're listening,
you know,
live.
If it's
hello,
did you hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was just for Mindy in the booth. I thought this was a private conversation between me and my engineer.
When is she going to stop talking?
Can you hear me?
No. Oh no, I can't hear anything.
Gabe's just trying to make a point.
I'm trying to have a conversation here on the radio. I'm sorry. I thought that's what I was.
Should I get on the radio? Can we talk together now?
Yes, Mindy. This is our
radio world.
Hi, Mindy. Hey, your show's on like two. What's it called? Hot Box Tuesday nights?
Oh, yeah. Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. This Tuesday, we have Eric Melvin. We have Dale Crover.
Get it together.
Dale Crover of the Melvins. He also played drums for like Nirvana, Phantomos. He's a kind of a big deal.
Awesome.
Especially if you're into drummers.
By the way, no one can hear you, so I don't know.
Let's get those 1,000 live listeners. We're like 798 live listeners right now, so we're trying to get to that 1,000.
But we didn't know they were there until like 5 minutes ago.
Tell your friends, get them encouraged to listen. Although, listen 24 hours, because we got sex shows, talk shows, news shows, a show on public transportation in L.A.
That's what I listen to.
Do you?
No.
I listen to
the sex shows. What time is that on?
He won the highest rated show at the network, by the way, last week over the sex shows.
What?
La Nista. It's a great. When's La Nista on?
Monday. It is recorded Mondays at 9 to 11. I do not know the new schedule by heart.
Oh, you should know that. That's our new.
It's a good show to check out, though. They get a lot of good high-profile guests talking about growing up in L.A.
I have some friends that have... I've already told them about the show, and they said they have some great stories riding the bus in L.A. growing up.
Yeah, they should definitely hit them up. Get on here.
Okay, cool. We have a network here, and it's a family, and Jen is family, even though we met at Swingers.
Yeah, we did.
Thanks for the eggs, by the way.
You're welcome.
And you cast me. You're like, okay, let's do it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Huh?
You met Keith at Swingers. You bought him eggs, right?
Uh-huh.
I met Keith at it wasn't Bob's Big Boy. It was...
The Vista.
No. Well, yeah, I met you there. We saw Jaws. But when we talked to you about Crafty, well, about getting you on the show, we took you out for bottom a cheeseburger. At, so we have to feed
where?
Keith.
Where'd you buy me a cheeseburger?
Yes.
Wait, where did we go? Where did we go? Do you remember where we were
at the Grove? And we went to like that diner. What's that called? It wasn't Bob's Big Boy. It was like a diner at the Grove.
Johnny's Diner.
Johnny
Rockets.
We and you
Johnny
had like Rockets. A cheeseburger and your fries with all kinds of chili.
Of course I did. Of course I did. That's exactly what I did.
You feed him, you got him.
We're talking on the way over.
Yeah. Well, get fed me fucking the other
night.
We're talking
way.
On the way over here. And Keith was like, I will work for free food. Actors.
If you listen to the commentary on Cousins, you can hear the director talking about how he had to give Keith pizza to get him in the movies.
Well, we were shooting last night on the drive over here. Keith and I are talking about, you don't need to feed actors. Shoot for 6 hours. You don't get lunch.
Not Keith.
And
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, everything. Like shorts, digital shit. Six-hour shoot. We had a 2.5-hour shoot the other night.
We shot last night, yes. And I fed you pizza. So I don't ever want to hear from you again.
Like, I had to feed Keith the burger. We're not going to feed
actors.
Like, hold it for him.
Then you took the garlic sauce and you poured it all over the, really?
Just my half.
Is this turning into the sex show now? I thought that was in the afternoon. What are we talking about?
No, we've been
pumping out. He's got this $10,000 freaking camera, which is gorgeous. Next step up is like, you know, 100 grand or 50 grand for Sony. He's got every manual. It's like the Red. It's so fucking beautiful. And to have that and the light kit and sound equipment and everything, it's like little studio happening.
And
we've been shooting stuff on like $500,000 consumer cameras, but still high def. Now this is like a prosumer thing. And Warner Brothers, Paramount, Universal, look out.
Poor fish is coming for you, man.
What do you have any energy left in your body, Jen, to produce and do that again and make another thing? Are you working on something right now?
It's so interesting that you said that or asked that question. I have been thinking a lot about it.
That was totally unexpected.
I'm sure. Actually,
who would ask that on an interview show?
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people, I feel like kind of looking to liken it to giving birth because I've never given birth, but I felt like it was like giving birth. What
Thank
I would
you.
Imagine
we don't
giving
need
birth
any
is like.
Any more mouth breathers on this fucking planet? Thank you, Jen. Well, are you gonna? Are you done?
Not yet.
Not yet. Fuck.
No, I'm. The clock is ticking. But anyway, that's really personal. Anyway, I
we're not live. You can talk.
I know.
We are live.
I'm joking. I was trying to throw you off, Keith.
I worked so hard on that movie and the blood, sweat, and tears that went into it. And while I was calm on set, there certainly were a lot of meltdowns beforehand in the pre-pro portion of it. And then it was so much labor after the fact. When it was finally done and I got to see it on the screen and it viewed and the audience reacted, I felt like I was watching my little baby walk. Aww. And I was so proud of it and proud of everybody involved. And I was so happy to send it off into the world. And then I had no desire for a really long time to produce. none at all. I just want to act.
One grow up and get some scabs in school and like.
Exactly. But just recently, I've done a little producing for some web series.
You look great, by the way. The tan is just awesome.
Thank you. I went to Kauai.
Gabe, you look good too.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like the haircut.
Wait, web series producing.
Anyway, so I've done a little producing for some web series, but not the same kind of blood, sweat, and tears that I put into Delia. I've been thinking a lot about another project.
It's not your baby. You can be more like, papers, please. Okay, get on set.
Exactly. Are you, I didn't give birth to it, so you changed the diaper.
That's
like,
right.
That's how I feel. But
wow. See, that's I don't awesome. Have the mentality of a producer. I can never make that many phone calls or lie to that many people. So I just like to get my lines and go on. I like to write lines too for other people and me. I love to write. I love to direct. And with Gabe, my partnership has been the most completely fucking satisfying thing behind the camera because I got this back of like, okay, everything's here. I brought all these people and actors and stuff. And I'm like, and I get to direct.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like 4 hours, shooting like 30-second minute, 2-minute shorts, I think. We did a 2-minute voting PSA.
Oh, nice.
Vote noir.
Mm-hmm. Vote noir, really?
Yeah.
A noir about voting?
No, yeah. No, you vote suspense thriller, vote comedy, vote noir.
You can
vote whatever you want, but just vote.
I thought you did like...
No, it's a PSA for voting.
You're exactly right.
I liked it.
A little short noir piece. You know, we've got the femme fatale, the private dick.
The black and white.
Black and white.
I love it.
It's up on YouTube. Still up on YouTube.
Yeah.
People are still watching it. It's definitely the best of the three. Of the three, Vote Noirs is...
Thank you.
the best ones.
I tried to produce a weekly thing. We were like, we have 5 weeks to the election. Let's do one a week, 2 minutes and under for like little, and every genre, we'll tackle every genre. We got to
there's
three.
Only five genres.
We were like, I'm sick. Next weekend, it's like, dude, I'm sick too, man. I can't do it this week. So it was like, and people that like go, oh, we'll do a 5 minute web series and we'll do it weekly. Fuck you. I don't know how you pull that off because it was a bitch and a bare ball. We did Crafty. How many episodes? We shot them all like meshed over days and weekends. And then they cut them later so that
they're intense. We had twice as many as we had. They were supposed to be like longer than what they should have been. So we cut them in half.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like eight
episodes.
And we had
twice as many.
How many episodes totally? How many episodes total on Crafty?
I couldn't even tell you.
At least a dozen. A dozen, but they produced like six or eight.
That's what
and
you
so
have
the editor
do.
Went, no, shorter, and I'm cutting this out and this, and boom, and I'll make, and he made more episodes, which is more downloads, more views. If someone
people
gets hooked,
don't watch long,
they keep watching, they're like,
episodes.
Well, and if you're going to do a web series, you have to have a cache. You have to say, okay, we're going to produce.
Cachet or cash?
You have to have a cache.
I prefer cachet.
You have to have money. You have to have cash.
You have to shoot a number of them, so you've got. You've got some waiting because you're always going to fall behind in production. That's just the way of life. So you even the best producers, you're going to run a little over on your schedule. That's just the way of life
once you
get on set.
No. So it's not always the case. Did you miss a single shot? We cut out stuff. The crane shot over the map. We cut stuff out. We never shot. We never didn't shoot something we wanted to shoot. Did we?
No.
At the end when we were scrambling and shooting like eight pages in one night, we missed some coverage. But
we pretty much got that and a little extra.
At one point it was like late at night and I was like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. And I was like, I didn't want to direct. It was just so crazy. I went, if you do this, and we'll stick with this, we can cover everything with this angle in one thing. There, we're covered, and then we can work on everything else. And we did that, and it was that's the movie. I mean,
But shooting a movie is different from a series. You've got a series, and you have to, especially with a web series.
That's like giving birth every week.
You have to have, and you have to have consistency. If you want your series to take off, if you want your series to develop any kind of a following whatsoever, you've got to have consistency. You have to have new content up, whether it's every week or every other week or whatever it is. So you have to have a cache of episodes in the
bank. That is true.
So you're always running, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. Oh. Even live television, even television does that. Sitcoms will shoot, and you're heavier up front. You shoot for 2 months.
In the old days, it used to be 3-4 weeks behind live. So, and it actually used to tape live in front of the studio audience at the time that their show was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were on Tuesday nights at 8, they would tape in front of the studio audience Tuesday nights at 8. And they had this 3-4 week lag time and hiatus and a repeat here or there to like figure it out. It was very under the gun. On Crafty, the point I was thinking of, Keith Coogan, star of shit, is thinking we did...
I'm following you, I think.
No, on Crafty, we shot...
We'll be right
sporadic.
Back.
It was like there, we did a chunk. We did months.
Right.
And did more burst.
I was writing night and day. I just remember Mark Coppola, the producer, directed most of them.
Oh, his Pearl Harbor thing, by the way?
Yeah.
What's that called? Something Down?
I just said, I don't know what you're talking about. Dog It Down. Dog It Down is
Dog
a great short
brilliant.
Film.
Here's the idea.
Kevin Conley produced
it's,
that,
it's,
too.
They're really in a storeroom in Pearl Harbor on a battleship, and it happens.
Really great
trapped,
acting and directing.
And it's just a short. Is it
in
short
a
short or feature length?
It's a short.
It's a short. Isn't that brilliant? One room thing, but they're in. What happened? I don't know. We're hearing through the door this. Genius.
He did such a great job, and he's gotten a lot of great feedback on that short. But that's Mark Coppola. He directed that, and he produced Crafty and brought me in as the actor in Crafty. And then, we got to know Keith, and then we brought in great actors. It wasn't Match.com.
I originally had remembered it.
That I didn't meet you there. It was actually on Crafty. You're thinking back.
Yeah. Crafty is code word for OK Cupid.
Yes, exactly. Or Christian Singles.
Valentine's Day.
So we had Diane Delano. We had a great actor named Wyatt Knight who was in the Porky's films. We had some great 80s character actors. And then Linda Hamilton was going to do the season finale. We had Linda Hamilton. I sent her some episodes. She was waiting to go. And I should let her know it's not going to happen. I think it's been
you might want to
let her off the hook.
Yeah.
She's waiting. She goes, oh my God, someday these kids are going to call with Crafty, the web series.
We had some, it was fun. It was a lot of work. Mark and I would literally sit up all night long writing these episodes on his laptop, where to the point where I got so sick of looking at the monitor, like literally physically sick, I'd throw up. I would throw up, and that's how we, because we were drinking all night too, and we found that.
No,
it's because I was looking at the monitor all night.
Sure. Editing so much better when you're
on. And I remember I gave Stephanie some great. Stephanie's not an actress. It's the first time she's ever done anything.
And she was the best deadpan.
She's great.
I knew she'd be great.
We cast her in this role that's a very deadpan character, and I gave her like a paragraph to learn, and she was like, I can't say all these lines. I'm like, most actresses were killed. She goes, I can't do that. I can't take these lines away
Hello,
from me.
It was like a tongue twister. Thank you for calling 443. How can we take your order?
Hello?
That was rude.
Did you hang up? We have a caller.
You actually tricked them.
They're done. Oh, my God.
They're
going to order. Call back 800-893-9562. Sorry, we lost you.
Are you there?
Keith.
Yes, sir.
What's up, brother?
Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Kinda, I guess. But how you been, man? How are things?
They're good, man. Doing the thing out in Hollywood, same as always.
Who's Pat?
Missing you. This is my friend from Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah. And we worked on a Corey Haim feature, Life 101, back in 90. What was the OJ year? 94?
94.
The OJ year.
And I had a big freak out on the set and had like heat exhaustion, went to the hospital. I was worried about Corey Haim, like he was going to die taking like 20 Vicodin a day. And I wound up in the hospital. Pat took care of me over there in Maryland. And like, dude, love you, brother.
You go back.
The reason that I call it, dude, is you had the pleasure of meeting a wonderful woman in my life. And she passed last night. So.
No.
I was calling to let you know.
Who is this?
My mom.
Pat.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll totally talk to you. We got to talk after the show, too. But I'm so sorry. I lost my dad the day before the elections, November 5th, just last year. He was only 62.
I remember, brother.
How old was your mom?
She was 80.
Oh, fuck you.
No, so sorry, Pat.
No, I know, but I'm so sorry, man. Were you there? Were you able to be there?
5 minutes before I could get there, man.
I missed my grandfather by like half an hour, and they were I walked in and my mom was like, he's gone. And I'm like, you're kidding, right? Well, my mom was always full of shit. She's like, no, he's gone. You can go in and see him. He's sitting in the bed. And he looked more alive than when he was like, had sleep apnea, where he used to have to shake my grandpa. Is he alive? Is he breathing? And he's sitting there in the bed, and he's like, and I'm like, it took like half an hour. And, I'm sorry, Pat. Are you okay, man? Pat's also a survivor of testicular cancer. How big is your family now? You got daughters, right?
I got boys, a boy and a girl, twins. So, yeah, dude, you know what? I'm good. I've accepted it. She looked at me a couple weeks ago and said, look, I know my fate. I'm good with it. I came to Jesus meeting with herself, and she accepted it. She knew her fate, and she was like, you know what? When the time is right, they'll call me. So you know what? It was cool, man. It was. She went peaceful, family around her, everything's cool. And you know what, dude? She's not broken now, you know? She's all better, and I'm happy for that. I'm happy that she's not in pain and not suffering, and she's at peace. But on a lighter note...
How does that shift with your family and the power and, like, the dynamics... Who's taking that load on now? Are you now the head of the family?
No.
No, I can't do that shit.
I'm the youngest of nine kids, man, so I'm the baby.
Wow.
So I got brothers and sisters that are all taking care of that stuff, you know?
You're still living in Bowie, Maryland?
Hell no.
Oh, no, where are you at?
Dude, that's like, all right, the Bowie that you, when you live there, that's like living in Hollywood. But now, Bowie is considered, like, Compton.
Okay.
Wait, I was like, what does that mean, like, Hollywood? Does it mean, like, awesome, well, I mean, like red carpet, or like, does it
that
mean
was
like
nice compared to what it's okay. looking like now?
Because when you live in Hollywood, you have
it's funny. Hollywood and downtown has gone opposite, Pat. They've actually they diagnosed 4,500 cases of tuberculosis in downtown LA, and the same news report to go can go. But conveniently, there's 5,000 homeless. And what it is gentrification and all the young yuppies here buying condos and flats and old parking garages laid over with this fucking acetylene fucking weird shit that seals in the oil and they build condos in them. They want to walk their babies and their kids. Don't want TB. So right now they're flushing the homeless tonight in downtown LA. It's Saturday.
Whatever happens,
February 23rd.
Lick a parking meter in downtown.
I would use. We have some hand sanitizer and napkins. And where's the baby wipes from the sex show, Mindy?
Yeah, that's
we need like a tub of baby wipes.
I think they might be on top of the fridge. Do you really need some right now?
No, I'm making a joke and a reference to our two great. What are the shows? Love Bite and
the chips
Love
somewhere.
Bite and Oral Stimulation.
Oral Stimulation. A U R A L. Oral stimulation.
Oral.
Oral.
Like, is it really?
Have you listened to Oral Stimulation, Pat?
No, but I'm gonna now.
Yeah, go back to the show where they do the live fisting on a radio show.
What?
Oh, all my friends are like, what's the point? I won't tell you what where on the table it is, but it wasn't there.
I'm so glad I refilled
my prescription. The table doesn't have TB, the table has herpes.
Stephanie and I are both raising our hands at this point.
Like, the table is made of syphilis at this point.
What? Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, keep on living, brother. And, you know, I want to talk to you. Not, oh,
so
hey, let's
sorry,
talk
Pat.
Sometime. Call me if you need me. I'm calling you in an hour after the show, and we'll talk.
No worries, brother. All it's right. all good, man. You guys enjoy your night.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, what's your Oscar picks?
I want
a segue.
As much as I hate this guy, I'm not hating, but I don't like what he stands for, but I like Christopher. The dude from Django.
Oh, he's great.
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, he's
Christoph
great.
Christopher Mintz and Christoph Waltz. My mind blends names.
Waltz, Mintz, whatever.
Really? I haven't seen Django Unchained.
You
have
not?
Are you kidding
no.
me? How have you
and I'm
not
a Tarantino nut.
Wow.
I'm broke. I can't
I
go see
too.
A fucking movie.
Oh, my God.
I'm behind my SAG dues so I don't get the screeners.
That?
It's a shit.
Jeez.
I have not seen it. I'll pirate it. Fuck it.
Wow.
Keegan.
Oh, by the way,
to do that once.
Monday,
to do that once over my
no,
face.
Gabe forgot. Monday, everyone, just so you know, the new six strike plans goes in for all major ISPs, Comcast, Time Warner, AT&T, all that stuff. And if you download pirated movies on BitTorrent, as soon as you download it, you're also sharing it with other people. You're distributing a pirated
Ooh.
Movie.
Yeah.
That's what BitTorrent, that's why everyone's cheesed. It's the genius of it because it doesn't pull it from one server. It goes, there's 40 people with the copy. Pull a little bit from each person, you get it instantly. So BitTorrent's a genius for sharing large files, scientific files, public domain, free movies, everything like that. Yeah, some people drive a car drunk and crash cars. Do you sue the car company for making cars? So BitTorrent's a great tool, but they're targeted in the six strike plan. You get two letters. Hey, you're downloading something wrong. Don't do it. Next letter. Hey, listen, you're doing that again. Don't do it. Third one's a pop-up on your computer. You have to acknowledge, yes, I read this notice and you click. Fourth one, they slow your internet speed down.
Oh.
Fifth, sixth, et cetera. Six letters you get.
So you can get up to five Police Academy films before.
That was a good one. Oh,
really
that was
the good ones anyway.
Thank you, John. That was great.
Those are the good Police Academy movies
just
anyway.
Just saying. Gutenberg was gone after four anyway.
Yeah, but instead they got to Russia. Yeah. It was just they jumped the show.
How many Police Academy movies were there?
There were
like
14, nine.
Something.
Then.
They just released on Drudge that Obama was going to sign an executive order to stop NASCAR.
What? Oh, please.
Oh, that's just bullarky.
Please.
You would have raging rednecks setting fire to fucking southern capitals.
Yeah, and the rednecks all have guns.
Oh my.
So
yeah.
that's not who you want to piss off.
They got guns at commie.
Nobody's
oh, shit.
Up in NASCAR.
What's the latest? Yeah. Hey, listen, what was the other...
Like, is that a problem?
Pat, there was another general retired just the other day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why
the turnover's been so fast. No.
Well, the bottom line is if they're asked... you being an officer of the military, if you're told to shoot your fellow Americans, will you? And if they answer wrong, they get fired. And they replace with people that will follow the order and shoot Americans if they have to.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen that coming. DARPA, Facebook, Google, they know every single search you do. And by the way, on Facebook, you can go right now and look at previous searches, and it'll show you every person you looked up in the search box, X's, whatever, and it shows you all your own searches throughout Facebook and your history of being on it from the beginning of time.
It's a lot of X. It's a lot of X, yeah. Too.
And that information is public to other advertisers and other apps, dating apps. A dating app can go, wow, this person keeps looking up.
He's cooking.
X from 20 years ago, because it shows it on their timeline when relationship breakups, people went single and not single, it tracks who you were with that time and knows, okay, just be careful out there with your data, your public information. Whenever you take a picture with a camera, there's a thing called EXIF data. EXIF data is the GPS in your camera. It tells you exactly where you were and what direction you're facing when you take a picture, and exposure and all that other stuff, lens speed and frame rate. You have to scrub that, and you turn off location data when you take a picture. If you don't, you go, look at my beautiful flowers in my living room. I'm an actor. I've been in 24 movies. I'll take a picture of this. And all of a sudden, just by opening up Safari on iMac, and you go, oh, let's inspect. You go inspect this picture, and it goes, boom. And it actually just instantly shows a Google map, and it pinpoints where that picture was taken, your living room. They know your address. I used to live across the street from Rebecca Schaefer's house, and that he paid $50 to a PI who got the money from the DMV or got the information from the DMV. They made a law for after Rebecca Schaefer that you can't buy or pay off the DMV to get their, you can't go and get your address information on someone from the DMV because of stalking rules. Your pictures you take on your phone are, you can go and right click and download it and then open it up, inspect it, look at the EXIF, E-X-I-F data, and it'll show GPS coordinates of where the picture was taken.
Is that only on Mac computers?
The camera we've been shooting with?
Yes.
The Sony FS-100?
They know GPS. Where you are, guys.
The film camera we're using?
I know.
The digital camera that we're using has GPS. It's GPS
are
enabled.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
That's scary shit.
I have.
What if you're shooting porn or a fucking
display.
Snuff film? I don't want people to find me if I'm shooting good snuff.
Hey, listen. You have the capacity to turn it off on the settings, but it lets me know. There's a little indicator. It lets me know if we have satellite signal, if we're looking for it, if we don't have anything at all. Oh, yeah. No.
I'm depressed. I'm scared. I'm nervous. I've this phone call, no offense, there's a range of emotions going on, and I don't know how to feel anymore.
John, would you rather be back at Club 33 with a bottle of wine?
Well, obviously you'll know where I am if I take a photo.
It's okay, because we're all going to be in FEMA camps here shortly, so don't worry.
I know exactly which camp and what kind of wallet I'll be making. We have another caller, Pat. I love you. I got another caller. Have a great night.
Man.
All right. So thanks for calling in, Pat. This dude, I know this guy for however, when was 94? I don't know. It was a long time ago.
That was the Nell Carter year.
Thank you for calling. We have another caller. In a minute, I hit things on the internet, but, you know, thanks for calling from the 818. How can we take your order?
Hello, Burbank, you out there?
Maybe we're not live.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
What'd we win?
You won pineapple juice.
Yeah.
From
concentrate.
A free subscription to light bulbs.
Oh my gosh.
A light bulb of the month. Light bulbs. Awesome.
Yeah. A lifetime.
I did not.
What does
know
that
there
even
was...
mean? Is that like the jelly of the month? Like, is it like a it wattage is. Of the month?
Yeah, wattage of the month.
Oh my gosh.
It goes up to 1,000.
We can't like say what kind of light bulb we want. You send us the light bulb of your choosing?
Yes.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
We got salesmen calling. We got salesmen calling and selling light bulbs.
Next thing you know, we're going to get telemarketers. Hey, you want to buy a subscription to magazine?
I only buy halogen light bulbs because they're good for the environment.
Good. We have those. We're good.
Good.
I want those new CFR ones that'll totally poison you if you break them open.
Isn't that the new halogen ones?
Yeah, they're totally poisonous.
They're giving one of those bulbs to every homeless person downtown gets a bulb. Funny enough, you should mention that.
TV epidemic will be wiped out overnight.
Yeah, they think they've got light.
Smoke your crack from this light bulb?
We were in the subway tonight, right before we came in here, and we were in line. You know, they had the rack of chips, you know, potato chips? Just some homeless dude came up. I assume he's homeless. Walked in, looked at the chips and just picked it up and crushed it and walked out the door. Put the chips back. I said, I think I'll get another bag. I'll get a different one. He just came in and crushed the chip. It's sort of like
bizarre.
It's like squeezing the Charmin, but it totally didn't work in this instant.
It's like I can't have you, no. So nobody else can.
He was standing by the bathroom, which said no customers for like 5 minutes, and then he just came over to the potato chips, squeezed a bag of baked Lay's, and walked out.
Interesting.
Well, baked Lay's suck.
Oh, come on, they're baked. They're good.
I think that's what he was hoping for. He was hoping for a baked Lay.
I gave him a light bulb, and he left.
What happened to our caller? Is he selling us light bulbs?
Yeah,
what's
no,
happening?
818. You wanted fries? Do you want chili on that?
Yeah, a little. If we could get a little bit of both.
Onions.
Well, who's going to win Best Picture tomorrow night, 818?
Oh, man. I have to say Les Mis because I work for the studio, so.
You work for Disney?
I work for Disney, yeah.
New Line?
Disney has never won a Best Picture, just so you know. By the way,
Disney.
Vegas has Les Mis at 30-1. Argo's at 2-1. What's the next one? Lincoln is at 3-1.
Is it? Wow. Yeah.
So that's it. It's Argo, Lincoln, Les Mis.
What'd you say?
I think it's going to go to Argo, so.
I liked Keith's theory earlier. Keith's theory, we were talking about this today. He said that he thinks the Academy is going to split itself between Argo and Lincoln, and Les Mis will come out the winner because the Academy is split.
I think that's happened before.
It's happened before with Best Actor and stuff.
For sure.
I'm just rooting for Bradley Cooper. That's the only. It's the only one I care about. Is I want him to win. I think.
I love Bradley Cooper, but
I'm bipolar, manic, depressive. I haven't seen Silver Linings Playbook because I know it'll spin me on a manic jag if I watch it. I got to be careful.
You must see it though. Right. I think De Niro, in it is
he's amazing.
Incredible.
They were actually going to call the film Manic Jag.
They said, really? You should give an Oscar to De Niro for finally showing back up again after 20 years?
Vivid
he
is
really
producing
does.
That movie.
Does he Manic show up? Jack?
Yeah.
Is he there?
He really
I haven't seen
is
it.
There.
Did you like the movie?
I did. And, you know, it's got a little rom-com kind of element to it that, like, you know, it goes from this sort of dark and this dark, complex place and kind of ends a little light for my taste. Because clearly we know that my taste is dark. But, but yeah, and the performances are fantastic. I loved it. The performances are fantastic. I was so happy to have Chris Tucker back. I loved Chris Tucker in it.
He's great.
The supporting performances, I think, are all just amazing.
It's a great film.
I mean, they're all amazing. But
Chris Tucker is.
Did you understand the words that came out of his mouth?
Yes, I love Chris Tucker. I do. I was really happy. I thought the performances were incredible. That ensemble was amazing. Jackie Weaver was just insanely good.
Keith, why don't you just BitTorrent it tomorrow? Watch it. Yeah, you know, check it out.
I will, because if you BitTorrent before Monday, you're clear with the whole letter and the warning
quick.
And show me your papers. But there's another precedent. They said that if you download something and all they have is an IP address to know who downloaded it, that doesn't mean that's the person that did it. Other people
it just
have
means
access.
That's the computer.
Yeah, they can do free Wi-Fi. They can have kids or whatever. And they're like, they said, no, your lawsuit's not good because you can't prove that that was the person that actually downloaded it. You need to sue a person, not an IP address.
Wasn't there a case some years ago where like the parents got locked up for a kid who was illegally downloading music?
There's a girl who lost and it was like 128,000 or something like that. It was six songs. They were like $20,000 a song for she, it was Katy Perry. Really? There was a seizing. There's a girl who had a Disney laptop, like Disney branded laptop. And she downloaded whatever, and they came, kicked in the door, seized the laptop, scared
Shot
everyone
her in the head.
They were like, "Who? Where's Charles? Whatever the ISP owner arrested the dad for IP." And it was, you've read the warning. Anything the FBI $250,000 fine or 5 years in prison minimum for sharing or exploiting this movie.
Wow,
that they're applying that to, downloading.
Hey, but I'm kind of a fan. I mean,
of Katy Perry?
Yes. And of not downloading
She's a California girl.
You like to get paid, right, as an actress?
Exactly. So please do not illegally download.
Well, wait. As an artist, like paintings and like Picasso or Van Gogh, the market is like really malleable. they could go, that's big, I'll pay a lot for it, or that's small, or that's not the style. I like impressionist. I don't like, you know, abstract. I'll pay more for an impressionist painting than abstract. Why is every single movie, no matter what the budget, the same price at the box office?
Because who is subjective? Who's to determine that this movie is worth more? John,
I am actually. Yeah.
But who's to determine this movie is worth more than another? Like, for example, I worked in a video store when I was in college. And which was a great. So did
that
you guys?
I did that. We met at a video store.
My first job was at a video, Point Doom Video.
It was
18
called,
years old. I had my own movies on the shelf behind me.
That is a prerequisite to like being in this business. Although you have movies on the shelf.
It was called
like,
you Subjective
Cousins?
Video.
Cousins is really good. Rent Cousins. It's good.
It's good.
It is good. But you know, people would come. I remember so many people coming to the counter after they rented a movie saying, this movie wasn't any good. And I said, well, nobody said it was good. It's just on the new release wall.
It's Cousins. And it's good. Take it home and watch it again.
But somehow they thought that since it was on the new release, it's new, it's got to be good. And so, but it's still the same rental price.
How about paying $17 to see a 3D movie of like Life of Pi?
God, no.
Stephanie, she said something.
God,
and
Stephanie,
it was negative.
It was God, no.
What about this is the Matrix for price? What about how much it costs to make the movie? A movie that's $400 million, that's $20 at the theater. A movie that costs $3 million,
that's not, $10. A movie should be equally available to everybody. So if a child does not have money, he should still be able to go see a movie that costs $400 million to make. He should still get to go see Star Wars, right? I mean, Star Wars won in 1977, but
that's all there is.
Guys, are we interrupting
Our caller, 818, do you ever pirate? Hello, your caller?
Hey, I'm still here.
Yeah, do you ever pirate? Or
I was so excited.
Do you ever pirate movie? Do you ever go to YouTube and look up an episode of the IT Crowd? Or like, do you ever... like not do Netflix or Amazon or iTunes. Do you ever like go off and like see something on a stream of like Youku or other weird streaming sites?
You know, I used to, a long time ago, you know, it was one of those things that was like, I didn't have money for television or like cable or anything like that. So yeah, I used to do it a long time ago. But now it's kind of like, I guess more because now that, you know, I've gotten more into the industry, it's like one of those things. It's kind of like everybody looks at you. It's like smoking nowadays. It's like everybody kind of looks at you like, hey, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. No, I've seen many of my own movies up for download. They, you know, tons of views and stuff on YouTube. There's like, they chop them up into like nine parts.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, yeah.
And I was like, if I ever get sued for like downloading, you know, the latest, what's the dragon one with the... Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Like, ever get busted for like downloading it? I'm like, great, you want to strike me? Are you giving it to the artist? How much do they get out of this? And they'll be like, nothing. We're just suing you. And I go, well, actually, I have like a bunch of movies people have done. Can you help me prosecute all these people? Can you help me look back at the IP address and sue everyone and let me get my cut? And as an artist, I'm like, I'm torn. I like to get paid, but I also realize that what we do is. Around in the middle of the community, there's a campfire. And at night after the hunt, people come and they tell stories of the day. And there's a storyteller that may be good at it. Does everyone have to pay $5 to come to the campfire? I think it should be free and the drum circle should be free.
If you can pay for the
marshmallow. If not, you're deprived. You can't read this book.
Here's the
problem
with
that. You can't hear this story if you don't pay me money.
You can go to the library and check it out for free.
Yeah, but libraries pay a license that's 4 to 5 times the worth of one copy.
Is it really? I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. I read that 2 weeks ago.
I thought you were going to say, I just made that up.
No, it's true. Libraries, when you do a book, and this is the whole CD copy, did free books kill Stephen King at the library? You can read every Stephen King book at the library. No, you know why? Libraries have to pay a license 4 to 5 times the price of one hard copy. And then they can rent it out. And they rent it out 20, 30 times. You know what I mean?
I did not know that.
And that's great.
Keith, now they're in the electronic, the digital. The digital, they're like, well, you can have 5 people stream it for this cost.
And
for
Keith,
the cost of one stream.
If they're
like,
willing
really?
To do
it
that.
It costs you nothing to produce it. No extra paper. No books. You merely make a digital copy. We can even share it on BitTorrent. Other people will actually provide the server space and give it for free. There's no overhead. Everyone can just share this information. But you're charging. Gabe is throwing shit at me like pencils and straws.
I know what you're saying, though. You feel like everybody should have access to art. or this story. I get that. Like, I totally get what you're saying.
And but Dave is my producer. It costs money to make this
stuff. Not just that, but when you don't charge, you're telling people it has no value. And I'm sorry, but when I write, when I create, when I produce, when I direct, what I'm creating, what I'm generating has value. And I do believe that people should have access to it. And I do believe that art should be shared, and it shouldn't shouldn't exclude people because of price.
Right.
But there is something to be said for, I worked hard, I created something, it has value.
My mother read Cat in the Hat to me when I was very young.
She charged you?
Yeah, because each time she read it, it was $2.95, the cover price. As I had to start paying it like 4 or 5 years old. But what about that? Telling a story, a fairy tale, a grandfather telling a grandson a story. Does the grandson have to pay to hear that story?
But that doesn't cost money.
Exactly. It's not. It's one
just
thing.
Just time
when you're talking
and your
about,
whole fucking life, which is way more than money.
Well, and there's something to be said for the relationship of storytelling within a family or down from generation to generation. But if I'm creating something for mass consumption, whether that mass consumption is 3 people or 100,000 people, if I'm putting something that I've created out into the world for people to appreciate, I'm putting a bit of myself out there. I'm putting something that I have taken a piece of my heart out and put it out there, and they're deserve. And I don't feel that it is wrong to say, if you're going to enjoy, if you're going to enjoy a piece of me, Jen, I deserve something in response.
Are you looking to make a recompense for Delia?
I am. I'm really.
How is that mechanized? How are you doing that? Because we couldn't for Crafty, and we had all these great people involved, and we couldn't do it.
Well, I've been approached by, there's a kind of startup platform for, I don't want to just talk about this in the last 3 minutes.
If everyone could stay exactly one more hour, we could do a second hour, but we have either 3 minutes or we have 63 minutes. It's up to you.
We promised juggling in the second
Anyone
hour.
Anyone else in the room opposed to another hour of talking?
I would love to say. I am.
Okay,
I might have to be a little
Mindy
early
can.
On the
Mindy has to go. All right, we're at 2.5 minutes.
Mindy. Yes, we're going to try to make money. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
And yes, and I think that people need to pay for it because it's different than, like, if I were to reenact a movie for you, you don't have to pay for that. And that's, I think, the analogy that you're giving by telling a story.
Yeah.
But watching, reading the book, you actually have to pay for that book the one time. Just like I have to pay for Adventures in Babysitting so I can watch it every night over and over.
You can borrow
and
mine.
Remember how
you can go to YouTube right now, type in Adventures in Babysitting and watch the whole movie for free.
It's too bad. That's not right.
Well, the other thing is Netflix is so cheap.
I'd rather they see it than don't. And if people can pay, great.
True, but I would like the residuals.
Wait, what, Stephanie? I would love. Oh, I love the residuals. Yes?
I just think that it's everything's so accessible now and cheap. And so it's immediate. Netflix is fair.
Immediate.
I mean, what you're paying.
Absolutely.
I think it's worth more than what you're paying. I mean, I don't want them to raise the prices.
But. Amazon Instant, you have Amazon Prime, which is $75 a year.
Talk faster, Gabe.
And a lot of that is you get free 2-day shipping and everything, but you also get to watch for free Amazon Instant videos.
It's
not
great.
All of them.
Yeah.
But that's cheaper than Netflix. And so you have a lot of ways of getting content at a reasonable price.
Minute and a half left. This is time in the call sheet. Tales of the Bone Machine, where we do plug away. Jen Nicolaiasen, plug away.
Go to my Facebook, which is / Jen Nicolaiasen #1. And because there's more than one in the world. And
those cunts.
I know. Yeah. Same. Interesting. Anyway, Jen_Nick_tweets. And also tomorrow I'm going to be on the red carpet doing a on the red carpet show outside of the red carpet from a hot dog stand co-hosting with internet sensation Sweet Brown. Sponsored by HiPod. You can see it at HiPodLive.com, HiPod live.com.
HiPodLive.com?
Yeah, they're going to be streaming the entire thing.
HiPod live.com.
Yep. Streaming it from, I believe, noon to 4 p.m. All the red carpet action. And and I'm sure they'll play it after the fact as well. So there you go.
5 seconds, Gabe, plug away.
I got nothing really to plug.
John Donahue.
I'm directing the next Star Wars film, so I'm looking forward to doing that.
Stephanie Butora, plug away.
I got nothing.
Keith Coogan is going to plug just late at night. Turn on your TV, flip around the channels. I'll bug you from ages 6 to 43. Have a good night. This is the call sheet with Keith Coogan. No, I worked from 6 years old to 43 years old. And there's
reruns. I see. All right.
Good the fuck night. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. All right, my bad.